Hey guys, I know it's been a few days, but I feel like we have to talk about the big news from this week. I mean, that was a huge decision.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I feel like each of the three finalists brought something different to the table.
And ultimately, the decision that was made kind of takes the franchise in an unexpected direction, but it's going to be fascinating to see how this works out.
Yeah, but you know what? I could have just sworn it was going to be Hannah G.
Hannah G.? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, Tayshia would have been a great choice, but I think she's too good for Colton almost.
Guys, what are you talking about?
The Bachelor. The Bachelor finale that was this week?
Season finale.
Okay, I was talking about Milwaukee getting chosen to host the 2020 Democratic National Convention.
Oh, another important choice.
I guess that's more on topic. We can talk about that too.
Yeah.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about choosing the one.
Ladies, this is the final rose tonight, when you're ready.
Milwaukee.
Will you accept this rose?
All right, so clearly that is not real news audio. That was some sound from ABC's The Bachelor and what we imagine it would be like if host Chris Harrison introduced the decision for the DNC, choosing the city to host their convention.
I should say that when you guys talked about comparing this to The Bachelor, you were both pretty excited about it because you are, in real life, very hardcore Bachelor fans.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea what you're talking about because I am clean.
You would be if you watched one episode
that,
with us.
That may be true.
We could just get you over there to...
Yeah.
That may be true. But
you start to form emotional bonds
away.
To all the characters, and you get into the drama.
The Bachelorette starts in May, Sean.
And then at the very end, they drop Miami and Houston.
Yeah, and went with Milwaukee, which is actually sort of funny because the winner of The Bachelor, Cassie, is a grad student at UW-Eau Claire. So Wisconsin won the DNC and The Bachelor.
Wow. What a week for Wisconsin.
Right.
All right.
And it makes all of this topical. So, yay. Should we talk about actual news then?
Yeah, I suppose.
I guess.
So there were actually three finalists in The Bachelor this week, you've told me. And there were three finalists for which city was going to host the DNC. There was Milwaukee, there was Miami, and there was Houston. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know, and it took a little bit longer to release the winner of the DNC than they had originally said. We thought we were looking at end of February to find out which city was going to host the DNC. And there was all this talk that Milwaukee was the finalist, but then it took longer, and the drama was just so intense, guys. And then we found out Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seems so long ago now.
It does. There are parts of this that are just kind of wild speculation, but I wonder if part of kind of that slow decision-making process had to do with the size of Milwaukee as a city, because it is a smaller city than traditionally hosts this kind of event. And we have done some coverage within WPR. One of our Milwaukee reporters, Corey Hess, has done a story about hotel rooms in Milwaukee. That's something people have talked a lot about. Is Milwaukee going to be able to host this massive sort of influx of people? And the answer from the DNC was, yeah,
we'll take
that
risk.
They could do
sure.
it.
I mean, I think Milwaukee had to secure like 15,000 hotel rooms near the convention site or something.
Yep.
15,000 fantasy suites, as they would say in Bachelorland.
The story that Corinne Hess did for us, as you mentioned, compared Milwaukee, though, to compared to Miami and Houston, very small in terms of the number of hotels that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And even compared to Philadelphia and compared to Cleveland from 2016, which was the host to the Republican National Convention, Milwaukee's much smaller than Cleveland. And Cleveland had, I mean, people were staying many miles away for the Cleveland convention, but it was important. Republicans calculated to make a big play for Ohio in the 2016 election, so they were willing to go there.
Yeah, so I mean, how much does sort of this calculus of appealing to voters and everything play into a decision like this?
I think it's everything. Yeah. I think it's everything because you could go to a larger city and have more of a, you know, a cookie cutter convention site, basically. That's not to dig at Houston or Miami, but they're just more equipped for that many people. And so to go to a place where you know it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge, it seems to suggest that, yes, Wisconsin is super duper important in the 2020 election for Democrats. And I feel like that's what we've been seeing a lot about that this week, that Wisconsin is the new crown jewel. Wisconsin is the state that everybody's going to be focusing on, which I think is kind of interesting.
I feel like Wisconsin, when results came in on election night in what year was that?
2016.
In 2016, it was sort of like when Wisconsin came in for Trump, that was kind of the turning point, right? And we are that kind of classic purple state. So I wonder if it's the combination of being seen as a battleground state and then playing such an important role in the 2016 race that it's become kind of this prize that both parties want. Republicans want to hang on to it. Democrats want to get it back.
I mean, I feel like part of it has to be that, like, that was one of the things that really hurt for Democrats in 2016.
Yeah.
To lose Wisconsin for the first time in decades.
Well,
it's got to really smart. And so they're like, well, we're going to make sure that we recapture it in this cycle.
Yeah. And it's become such a national joke. I mean, gosh, like, Saturday Night Live has done jokes about Hillary Clinton not coming to Wisconsin. I mean, I feel like it's been everywhere. Like, oh, if Democrats had just visited Wisconsin, or, you know, that would have made a difference in the overall electoral outcome of the 2016 presidential race.
So that's not 100% a given, because where did Democrats have their convention in 2016? Pennsylvania. Who won Pennsylvania, right? Donald Trump. And there's other examples like that where the parties have gone to states, Republicans also, and they've held their convention there in an effort to make a play for those votes, and it doesn't matter. But they're probably doing the math and thinking, like, I'd rather make a play for it and have it not work out than do what we did in 2016 and just kind of assume that those votes were there and, you know, come up short.
Sean, you've been to a convention before. How much of kind of the physical location of a convention actually impacts just regular people that live there? Other than economic activity, I mean, are Wisconsin residents who are interested in politics, Democrats from Wisconsin, just going to be able to go to the convention and be a part of it? Or is it all just people who've come in from other parts of the state, like all the delegates, everybody that's kind of an official inside this room? I'm just thinking, like, how involved are regular people who like politics get in these conventions?
There are a lot of regular people, I'd say, who become delegates to these conventions.
Yeah.
But if you're not somebody who's taken that step to get involved in the party and become a delegate and get credentials to get inside of this place, you're not going to be able to just go experience it.
Right. So it might as well be in Alaska for kind of the regular Joe of Wisconsin, right?
I'm sure there will be kind of tangential craziness in Milwaukee. But my memory, especially of the RNC in Cleveland, was that the convention itself was a fortress.
Yeah,
it
just
felt
kind of
like
a bubble.
Fortress. It felt you were going into a military operation almost. It had very high fencing and, you know, getting around from one place to another. You get on these shuttle buses, and in that role, if you just had to kind of keep up with your delegation, you do not get to see much of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, it's one of the digs on convention reporting too, is that reporters get kind of, they're in this bubble and they don't see what's happening outside of them. You know, sometimes you don't have the luxury to take the time to go look around, and I definitely didn't.
So this is really a symbolic choice, because it's not like having the candidates in Wisconsin or, you know, the nominee in Wisconsin for this convention is going to allow that person to interact differently with Wisconsin voters or more with Wisconsin voters, right? Because they're going to be inside this bubble in Milwaukee. So it's not really going to sway the electorate beyond, like, hey, Democrats thought Wisconsin is important enough to pick our state for their convention.
I mean, I think it says something, though, that Democrats decided to give Wisconsin a rose.
That's true.
Thanks,
that's
John.
True.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I think it is symbolic, but it does, you know, the symbolism is strong.
Yeah.
Just like how a red rose symbolizes, you know, everlasting love.
Yeah.
And okay, so the candidate, whoever the candidate ends up being for Democrats, and we do not know who that's going to be right now because
in they're a field of 100 million.
Exactly. 100 million.
Roughly.
Well, I guess what I was getting at is that Democrats, there will be a lot of buildup to this convention. You've already seen a lot of convention stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to continue as they try to put this thing on. I'm sure there'll be a lot of high-profile visits from Democrats coming to Wisconsin to talk about this thing, to build it up, to kind of continue that play that they're making for Wisconsin votes. I mean, I think Wisconsin, when you look at the map, it's not a big state in terms of electoral votes. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the decision that Democrats have made is that if they get Wisconsin, if they get those states that they traditionally got, that Trump kind of picked off in 2016, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, if they get those, they will win in 2020. They feel like nothing else changes. We get those. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a long history of getting Wisconsin. Going back to, you know, Ronald Reagan, prior to Trump, Ronald Reagan was the last Republican to win Wisconsin. But it's a very competitive state. I mean, John Kerry won here narrowly. Al Gore won here narrowly. You know, we've had very competitive elections here in Wisconsin. And so that's why it's going to be so fiercely fought over, because it is potentially, Republicans feel like, a state in transition toward them and away from being a blue state. But then, you know, Democrats
just kind of want to head that off. They want to say,
yeah,
we're stopping the the tide of the, you know, I laughed because of blue wave and kind of mixing metaphors. But yeah, they're sort of saying we want to halt this momentum before it gets any further.
And they're going to try to seize on their momentum from 2018.
Right.
Tony Evers won here. They won statewide with the other candidates. Tammy Baldwin did great in Wisconsin. They want to carry that while they still have that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So to get back to sort of the nitty-gritty of Milwaukee and the convention itself, I think maybe it's worth mentioning the convention site because it has some, you know, interesting state political angles to it. Where it's going to be held is the Milwaukee Bucks new basketball stadium. And why is that important?
So this is Sean was around for this debate, so he can speak to it more intelligently than I can. But this is something that Republican Governor Scott Walker fought really hard for. Right, Sean? I mean, this was kind of like a Walker thing
to get the thing built,
to get the arena built. Yeah.
Using taxpayer money.
Here's what I'd say about it. He definitely proposed it, and it's definitely his. He signed the bill that created the arena. I don't know if I'd say he fought really hard for it. His slogan for the Bucks Arena was, "It's cheaper to keep them." That was it.
Was it them or M?
Cheaper to keep them?
That's
how I remember it, but I can't remember if that's what it said in the signs. It was something like that, though. Cheaper to keep them.
Okay. So it was kind of a practical, not an uplifting campaign.
It was not like, argument. Look at this.
They're like, the Bucks. No. Okay. But it's cheaper to keep them.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
I mean, they framed it in terms of the revenue they would lose if they didn't have the Bucks. So they're saying, look, we would have to have this upfront investment. A lot of that got shifted to local governments, but it's cheaper to keep them.
Yeah.
So it's not that it was billed as, we'll make Milwaukee this shining city on the hill if we build this arena. It was, hey, we just kind of have to. I mean, that's kind of how I remember the debate. And the cheaper to keep them thing is burned into my mind, except for the M versus the M, which is a little hazy.
Right.
But I definitely know that that was their sales pitch.
I feel like part of the media narrative, though, after the DNC going with Milwaukee has been like Democrats pick Milwaukee partially, you know, thanks to Governor Walker and this thing. Don't you feel like that's been part of it?
It wasn't just the media either. It was Walker himself. He was playing that up on Twitter, right?
Yeah. He's right. It's his, it was his deal. He signed it. And Republicans got the votes. So it was a bipartisan package in the end. I mean, you had Democratic-Republican votes in the Senate, and we have a new arena in Milwaukee.
And now it's going to be flooded with Democrats.
Yes, it will be. And
so I think it's kind of interesting that we've seen a pretty positive, I would say net positive reaction from other Republican leaders. I mean, Governor Walker.
How have Republicans in the state been responding to this planned influx of, you know, heavyweight Democrats?
I remember the first press gaggle that I was in that Speaker Voss was asked about this before the decision was made, just sort of how do you feel about the DNC maybe coming to Milwaukee? He said, I would welcome it. Bring all those limousine liberals into Wisconsin to spend their money and also to remind Republicans why we vote the way we do.
So is that a positive reaction, really, or is that kind of a backhanded?
Well, it's a backhanded positive reaction. He's saying, like, yeah, this is good for us. It's good for us economically, and it's good for us because liberals are annoying and they'll be annoying. And like, I just think, I don't know. I think it's a backhanded positive.
But it's not like he's saying, like, oh, no, get them out of here. This is the worst.
And the state Republican Party, I would not say, was overwhelmingly positive toward this either. They said, hey, it'll be a great reminder that Milwaukee had three socialist mayors. They're saying it's part of the – you're going to hear this from Republicans. You're already hearing this from Republicans now that – the Democratic Party is lurching toward socialism. Mm-hmm. That's kind of their message. And so they're using the Milwaukee and its actual socialist connections. Right. By the way, Republicans have had conventions in Milwaukee. I mean, Scott Walker was nominated in 2010 in Milwaukee. They're not, like, averse to having conventions in this socialist city. Formerly socialist city.
So one more thing before we end, and I think this maybe has a parallel to The Bachelor, because on The Bachelor you get really, like, sort of attached to the people you want to win and you get pretty disdainful of some of the other characters. I've kind of liked watching, people on Twitter, like national journalists and commentators and stuff, talk about the Milwaukee choice and how they've been throwing some shade at Milwaukee, honestly, like, acting like it's the hinterland, that, like, it's this, we're cow country. And how is Milwaukee going to be able to support all this influx of people coming in and such?
Who are you thinking of?
I mean, the one that gets me is Nate Silver.
Are
there enough hotel rooms in Milwaukee?
No, I believe he said it's a lovely city and all that.
Oh,
but,
that's right. He was like, it's lovely in the summer.
No, but hotel rooms, and it could be a cluster blank.
A cluster blank.
We're not going to use that word in the podcast. We can't do that.
Yeah, there has been some shade on Twitter, kind of similar to the hefty amounts of Twitter shade for The Bachelor.
And I love that Nate Silver tweet. If you look at the replies to that, there's a bunch of Wisconsin Democrats who are just like, you're wrong. You are wrong. And then they all felt the need to chime in, like, you're wrong.
Yep.
The number of hotels, I think, it's just a piece of information. There are fewer hotels here.
Yeah.
And the response is, well, what about Airbnb? And, you know, people can stay at people's houses. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yes.
That's a thing
it's
for
a
sure.
Thing.
And apparently we have another story about this on our website, but people in Madison are also preparing to host some people staying at the DNC potentially. Like, hotels have been reached out to.
They were like 95% booked that day, I think, I read.
Yeah.
So.
I think in that same story, though, I think, like, tourism officials were saying that maybe it's not a bad thing that people will be staying a little bit farther afield of Milwaukee proper, like staying in Madison or staying in suburbs of Milwaukee, because then they'll get to see, like, a larger part of Wisconsin. And maybe they'll take some time, you know, a day ahead of time or a day afterwards to, like, go a little bit farther afield into Wisconsin and see all of the stuff that the state has to offer.
I don't know if this was explicitly said in one of the quotes, but it was like, oh, yeah, they're gonna go kayaking or something in Wisconsin. Maybe I'm wrong and maybe that will happen, but I find it hard to believe that people coming in for, like, a very specific professionally related thing. I mean, these are, like, delegates and, like, officials, and I find it hard to believe that they're going to be like hiking at Devil's Lake or something.
I guess I have to maybe think about the universe of people who will be coming outside of delegates and officials.
Yeah.
Maybe they would do this. But if you're a delegate and you're at
quite
this thing,
busy.
I mean, my recollection of the delegation was they were exhausted because they'd be up all day and it's just so tiring. Conventions are so tiring and they go till late at night. And then if you've got
like a 40-minute drive to tack onto either end of that, if you're staying somewhere outside of Milwaukee.
Well, they've got the social hour after the stuff is over, too. So then they stay up and drink, and then they get up for their delegation breakfast, which is way too early the next morning, and just every day repeat.
Well, like, I mean, when are you kind have of stayed a little bit kind of far away
from
the RNC side in Cleveland, right?
Yeah. Well, that was – the RNC wasn't even as bad for the Philadelphia one. I stayed in New Jersey.
How did you experience New Jersey in that time, Sean? Did you go hiking?
I worked in my hotel room, and that's it. And then I commuted to Philadelphia.
I don't mean to, like, throw oodles of shade. Maybe it will happen, but I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical.
If they stay for more than that week, sure.
Yeah. The other thing that I was going to say is we are going to be sort of under this microscope of, you know, attention from the national media on issues in Wisconsin and positions of the population on certain things. And as we well know, not everything that's going on in Wisconsin is necessarily great. You know, I know there was an NPR story this week about, hey, the DNC is going to Milwaukee. Here's kind of a little look at where Milwaukee is as a city. And it talked about some of the racial divides and some of the challenges that that city has been grappling with for a while. And I don't think that kind of coverage is going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, expect every national media outlet to kind of take their crack at Wisconsin and Milwaukee specifically as this segregated city. That story is huge and important. And they're all going to look at Wisconsin and Milwaukee under that microscope. They're also going to be talking about what's one of the pitches that we had here for the convention. You're going to have a fun time. Come here and drink. They had a beer as they toasted the contract. They spilled a little beer on the contract and everybody was saying, it's fitting, you know, beer in Wisconsin. Yay, beer is great. We also have some problem drinking in Wisconsin, you know? Mm-hmm. So there might be a little bit of a microscope on that too.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if talks about, you know, the dairy industry and exports
probably.
Will probably come up a bit.
I could see Democrats using that one and talking about how tariffs have hurt the dairy industry and the dairy state. Yeah, all of this stuff. Wisconsin becomes this place where if you're a national media outlet, you can just do a story and put a Wisconsin stamp on it for the next year and you're good.
Right. I wonder if Foxconn is, you know, this little known Foxconn project that's gotten so little national attention. I wonder if that's going to get a little bit more attention finally, you know.
Why isn't anybody writing about Foxconn?
So we have to be prepared for that. People are going to be paying even more attention to us than they already have. And we've arguably been in a national spotlight because of, you know, Paul Ryan, Reince Priebus, Scott Walker. But I think this is a kind of a different level, a different kind of attention anyway.
Well, it will be something. That's for sure. Sean Johnson is WBR's Capital Bureau Chief.
Such a good summary there. Laura White is WPR's Capital Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you're searching for everlasting love from the bottom of Sean's, Laurel's, and my hearts, all you have to do is subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on iTunes. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other fine podcast apps. And you can catch up on past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.